clueless about that. In Matthew 26:41, he noted, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we noted that if we do more things about the flesh, we'll rear our families not to be spiritually minded. But if we do things of the spirit, then of course we'll have better success at overcoming any trial, any temptation that we may face. I want to start with that idea tonight. There are temptations that we ought to identify to our children. We ought to let our children know that there are certain problems that they're going to encounter. Just like we are tempted as adults, they will be tempted as young people growing up. Back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, and down at verse 9, Solomon addressed the thought and said, "Ornament and perfume rejoice the heart." There are a lot of people that have been deceived by the smell good of someone, male or female, and they have leapt into the troubles of sin and wrongdoing. Many, many problems have been as a result. And as a result of that sad case, one is mentioned there earlier in Proverbs chapter 7. And down in verse 17, where the woman who is speaking to the young man who is devoid of wisdom and understanding. And he's walking through the streets of the city. And she sees him and she flatters him by saying, "I have sought for you, I've been looking for you all of the day." She tells him, amongst the other things along the way, to come to her house while her husband is gone, that she has anointed her bed, she has perfumed her bed that day with myrrh, and that further, she has aloes all about it. So there were lubricating ointments that were there, there were smell goods that were there, and she said, "My husband is gone for a long journey, he's taking a lot of money with him, he's trying to trade and swap out and make money, and as a result of that, he'll be gone for many days. Come, let us have our fill." She called it love. It actually was lust, of course. And our young people need to realize that there are certain trials and temptations that have come our way, and the Bible has instructed us ahead of time that there are these kinds of things, that ornaments and perfumes that rejoice the heart don't necessarily mean that I ought to fall head over heels into those temptations. If I will be a spiritually minded person, I'll look for something somewhat better. Take into consideration one of the trying things of our time that will often tempt us and young people can get into rather quickly, as well as older people, it seems. The problem of gambling is a problem of covetousness. Described in Colossians 3, covetous spirit is something that we need to overcome. And described in the pages of the Bible many, many places, but a noted on these places is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 11. In which he is describing a situation going on, and you can imagine this situation being used by some con artist who's trying to get getting a gambling amount down for it. And he says, "The race is not always to the swift, and the battle is not always to the strong. Time and chance happeneth to them all." When we're so sure that there's a winner right here, so sure that it's there. I've worked with many who've been in the gambling trade back through the years. They've told me with one voice that one of the worst things that ever happens to one who comes to the table or to the cards or to the dice is that they win right off the bat. When they win the first time, right off the bat, right in the effort, they have the idea in mind when they get in that losing streak, and they will be losing to the house. The house didn't build it in order to lose. They win. They're going to win. They're going to have enough to come in to win. And as a result of that, they're going to have a way of having bright lights and a lot of good music and a lot of good food and commonness to enjoy this situation. And the circumstance is going to be assurance that that person will say to himself, "I won when I really didn't think I would, right off the bat. I'll get lucky once again. That time will come." And before they're through, home, business, all of their monies, all of their assets are on the line. And for a turn of a card, and a number on the die. They're kept or lost. Maybe we need to play a little game with some of our children to realize that what's so sure is not always so certain. Not always going to happen just like that. And tell them that this is the result of gambling, and show them that this is the result of a gambling way. Along this time of the year, there was a certain situation that took place in the NCAA basketball tournament back in 1983. I know it's not that long ago, but it was a time in which the North Carolina State Wolfpack was given no chance at all to even be in the final tournament. There were 10 games out of first place in the ACC conference. They went into that particular conference games anticipating that they would not win. However, their coach, Jim Valvano, you've seen him run out on the court. He was put on the ESPN and all those kind of things this time of year with the arms up in victory and the groin door looking for somebody to high five and everything, because they did win. Yes, they did win. They won 9 games in a row. They were out of place 10 games. They won the tournament, their own tournament. They won the regionals, their own regionals. And they won in the finals in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They won against Bama, whatever the group is, that was from the University of Las Vegas. They won. Not given a chance at all, not believe that they'd ever be there at all, but they won. What does the scripture tell us back there in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11? Time and chance happening to it all. Then there's another thing that young people can do in their lives, and we need to talk about it with them, and that is vulgarities can easily creep in. There are speeches that can be made, statements that can be given, and there are certain words that can be spoken. And those words can be vulgarities. The scripture tells us in Jesus' own words in Matthew 12 and 37, by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. We need to be careful about the words that we speak. We can be justified by them, but we can just as easily be condemned by them. And vulgarities are spoken of in the scripture in such a vehement way, against the way of God, against his right way. Early in the 10 commandments listed in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7, among those commandments about God, remember the first 4 deal with God? The 3rd one of that deals with this particular idea. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, he says, remember. He says, thou shalt not make of thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Our words and our mannerisms as children growing up can be quickly gained. Remember, the power of life and of death is in the tongue, Proverbs 18, verse 21. And when we talk about the power of life and death, we're talking about something very, very serious. Whether someone lives or dies on the basis of words that are spoken, we want to choose the better set of words. Gentle words turn away wrath, Proverbs 15, 1. But grievous words stir up anger. Let's not be that kind of people. Let's teach our children that's not the way to do. That's not the way to be. And then the 4th kind of temptation that we may face, not only a temptation in regard to how we would get into sensual things, like the oils and the perfumes, or get into gambling, or get into the misuse of our tongues, but let's consider just a moment here how we could get into a budget that is not respected. You know, we don't have all of the endless supply of funds coming in, and even if we did, that would be someone to step up to say that wouldn't be a wise thing to do, to spend it all for sure. We must have a budget. Our Lord talked about that budget in Luke chapter 14, and he talked about it in this kind of way. What man building a house does not first count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish that house? Otherwise, when he's in the midst of building that house, he realizes he doesn't have enough materials, he doesn't have enough money to buy the materials, he doesn't have enough to do with it. And as a result, he'll stop. And others will walk by and mockingly say of him, behold, a man who began to build, but he could not finish. And he said, what man going into battle with 10,000 does not against one who has 20,000? First count the cost, Do I have better warriors? Do I have better equipment? Can I really be a victor in this battle? On the other side of the coin is this. Otherwise, he is in the battle and he sends an ambassador for peace. Again, this man will be mocked in the future of his life. He began a campaign he could not win, he could not finish. When we find ourselves in a budget, and we find ourselves going over that budget for the rod and reel, for the gun, for the sofa, for the couch, for the chair, there are those that will be sufficient to the task within our budget. And Paul will write in Romans 8 and in verse 28, we know that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. What a blessing it is to guide our children and guide our ways of life in a way away from temptations.